it up. It's too hard for me. Do you realize how far away you are from way back there? I don't like to be that far from you. So we're too to have people with muscles working back there, don't we? Good morning. Good morning, Betty. So good to see you again. Haven't seen you for a while. Good morning, Steve. How's your new grandchild? Good. So good to see each and every one of you. And I want to start today with our scripture, which is going to be there in a moment. It's coming, right, Paul? It's coming. Did it freeze? Oh, good. Our scripture this morning is from Hebrews 12 and verses 2 and a little bit maybe of 1, a little bit of 3 as we go through the service. Any of you know the main words that I might be thinking of from that text? Romans 12, 2. Anybody? You know that text, right? If you don't, you will after today. The main words are fixing your eyes on Jesus. Yay, there we are. Okay, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to read it in two other versions. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud, yes, it's cloud, not crowd, I had to take a second look at that, of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Let's go to another version. This is from the King James. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Read that with us, the three words. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And one more. This is from the Amplified Bible. So there's a lot more words that kind of explain it. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us, read it with me, and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. Now, today I am not focusing on a Bible character for my opening story, although I certainly could have. Instead, I've chosen to share with you a little about a very ordinary person who did extraordinary things, which it's the same as you and I, actually, when you fix your eyes on Jesus. This person I'm going to talk about is just one, maybe, of those cloud of witnesses that this verse was talking about. So I will start by saying, there once was a man. And as Ron would add, this story, say it, Ron, could be true. So you got to listen, because, you don't know for sure. This man was not wealthy, although he earned a missionary's salary in the faraway place where he now found himself. He was not educated except as he studied and learned on his own as years went by. This man was not healthy. He had various ailments that would bother him from time to time. And that wasn't all. Here in this faraway place, he found himself alone, because his wife had died 10 years earlier. But he had tried to continue his work without his beloved companion. Now, like I said, This man was a Christian. He loved Jesus, and like Jesus, he was ever conscious of people's needs. I'm going to share several examples of how his love for Jesus played out in his life every day. Let's go to the next slide, which will list very briefly these examples. First of all, he gave a cow and he loaned a cow. A family of four children came to this man and said, "We've had nothing but squash to eat for a week." And this man said, "Take my cow. You need it more than I do for the nourishment that it could bring to the family." And he loaned a cow to another family that they might have milk for their children. The next one shared food from his supply. He found a father and his sons clearing out land. They requested just a few pennies because they had nothing in the house to eat. He didn't have much cash himself, so he went home and took food out of his own cabinet and took it to the family. He helped with school expenses. He found two boys. Family had no money. He said, "Come to the school and I'll take care of your expenses." And those weren't the only ones that he paid for. Another man who was grief-stricken, he had lost and had buried his wife and three children. And all they could do was sit at the cemetery and cry. The police said, "Hey, you got to get it together or we're going to take you to prison, jail. We just can't have this. But you have to get a job." But no one would employ him. He was just totally broken up. He was tempted to commit suicide. But someone said, "Why don't you go to this Christian man? Maybe he can help you." So he did. And the man got him working around his place, let him come to the table with the family and eat with them. And it wasn't long before he was able to support himself and start a new life. Well, you might wonder, we're going to get to the chicken, don't worry. You might wonder how Mr. Christian could do all these things on a small salary. Well, it wasn't easy. This was also during depression. And if you were lucky to have some money in the bank, you lost it when the banks crashed. Now we get to the chicken. One of the struggling families near our friend had to live on what the mother could earn taking in washing because the father could find no work. They had nothing to eat in the house suitable when they all came down with influenza, which was a lot more serious in those days than now. We have more ways to treat it. Our Christian friend took them some really good healthy food and was gonna, you know, just help them in their need. They had always eaten meat. And this healthy food, they couldn't stomach it. They wouldn't eat it. So he went home, sacrificed a chicken, had the cook make some broth, and took it to the family. And they soon recovered. So I could go on and on about stories, with stories like these about our uneducated, not healthy, not wealthy Christian widower, and what he did in the name of Jesus, helping those around him. But first I want to mention our Christian men here. I see what you do. You are so compassionate. You are so helping to people. You are so self-sacrificing. I am just so grateful for the men in our congregation and what they do for others around them. And you know who you are. I think it's probably all of you. I don't know everything about everybody, but I know a lot about many of you. So now we're going to go a little further and change one detail in the story, and that will make it all true. These stories were not about a Christian man. They were about a Christian woman, an uneducated, not very healthy, not wealthy Christian widow. Just like many women here today. This widow lady was in her 60s to 70s. In a time when these events occurred, there was no Medicare, no Social Security. Her name could have been Patsy or whatever. It could have been any one of you ladies. She was just like you. She had compassion for those around her. She was always reaching out and helping and sharing her love for Jesus. And even though I could name a lot of names, it wasn't any of these names. I don't think we have anybody in our congregation with this name. Her name was Ellen. We know her as Ellen White. Now, you've read what she's written, but do you know all the kind and generous and good things she did for the people around her? Always. Now, I told you it was a man because I didn't want you to guess it too quickly. I figured you would catch on. But this sermon isn't about Ellen, but we're going to take a little bit of her life to encourage us in our life. Let's look at the scripture here. Hebrews 12 again. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Ellen was a frail human being, just like us. But I've always been interested in what made her tick. So I recently read a book that was in our library. It's called Stories from Sunnyside. By the way, who has that book? We couldn't find it in the library. Somebody took it without checking it out. Anyhow, Stories from Sunnyside, Ellen White in Australia, 1891 to 1900. This book details the years that she lived in Australia around the turn of the century. And they tell the stories of her kindness and generosity, as well as how she designed homes, planned schools, raised churches, organized camp meetings, traveled and preached all over Australia, dealt with the effects of endless heat and endless rain, as well as battling possums that were trying to get into their food while they lived in a tent for quite a while waiting for a house. How did she do all of this? The same way any of us can do anything for Jesus. The reason was because of her abiding friendship with Jesus. Underneath and over all she said and did, Jesus was first in her life. All these other actions just flowed out of her love for Jesus, gave her a great love for everyone around her. Her communion with him in prayer and Bible study brought her closer and closer to Jesus as her life went on. She lost her husband. You heard that in the story. So she was in Australia by herself. She had some friends that helped her. But her life didn't end when she lost her husband. She didn't lose the ability to help others because she wasn't wealthy or healthy. Her state of being educated, uneducated, didn't stop her from writing because Desire of Ages comes from that time she was in Australia. In fact, all of these things in her life that could be looked at as handicaps maybe, only made her depend on him more. And as she humbly trusted him, he used her. So in her own words, Ellen explains how she lived her life. Notwithstanding that I have trials and afflictions, I look away to Jesus. It is in the straight, hard places that he is right by our side, and we can commune with him, lay all our burdens upon the burden bearer and say, "Here, Lord, I cannot carry these any longer." Then he says to us, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then she says, "Do you believe it?" What would your answer be? Yes. She said, "I have tested it. I love him. I love him. I see in him matchless charms, and I want to praise him in the kingdom of God." Now, there was a pastor who worked in Australia during the time she was there. And at her funeral in 1915, he said these words, "I have never heard any other person speak of love for Jesus as I have heard her speak. Many times have I heard her exclaim, 'I love him, I love him, I love him.'" And her oldest granddaughter, Ella, remembers when she would see her grandma standing at the pulpit, and she says She's been talking about the matchless love of Christ. She pauses, and with one hand, not yet, we're almost there, with one hand resting on the desk and the other lifted heavenward, she exclaimed in a ringing voice, "Oh, Jesus, how I love you. I love you. I love you." And her granddaughter says there's a deep hush, and heaven is very near. Ellen says, "I love to speak of Jesus and his matchless love, and my whole soul is in this work. I have not one doubt of the love of God and his care and his mercy and ability to save to the utmost all who come unto him." It is the same for us if we fix our eyes on Jesus. His love for us, and in return, our love for him, changes everything. You know, focusing on Jesus can change our lives regardless of our age, our gender, our economic status, our skills and talents, or lack of them. If we allow him to take over our lives, he will guide and help us through anything we may face. Do you believe that? Amen. I have been tremendously blessed to be a part of a small group that Betty hosts at her home in Leeds. We studied for a long time the Gospels. How long did we study it, Betty? Do you think it was a year, at least? We studied the Gospels. We took the stories of that matched in the Gospels, and we'd read the whole thing, you know, like the same story from the different Gospels. And we moved through them that way. And it took us a long time, but oh, was I blessed. And I think I speak for the others in the group, too. Another way that I found to kind of flesh out and deepen the picture of Jesus that I have in my mind was one time when I read Desire of Ages. I decided to write down every descriptor I found of Jesus. And then that would help me to understand him, to be able to just have a real good grasp of what he was like when he lived here. And when he was here, who was he showing us? The Father. So by knowing more about him, we know more about the Father. So in your bulletin was a flyer. It had a picture of Jesus. And those are some of the descriptors that I pulled out during my study, just a few of them. And I was so blessed by it, and I still am. It's been 20 years since I did that. But I still pull it out and look at those sometimes just to remind myself of all that Jesus is. And there are page after page after page of descriptors that I have found. Another thing, just about nearly 6 months ago, Pastor Lee Vendon came and gave us some presentations on Jesus. I know I was blessed a great deal. And I know that many of you expressed how blessed you were. He shared with us, don't put it up yet, he shared with us a formula for our morning devotionals. Do you remember what it was? It was one word. What? Soap. Who said that? Thank you. Soap. There we go. Every morning, soap. Now let's go to the next one. The soap stood for studying God's word as a letter from a dear friend, Jesus. And that's important, even when you're reading Jeremiah, when you're reading Job, when you're reading any Old Testament or New Testament, to try to find Jesus in that scripture. Then observe what is happening in the passage. Apply it to your life, and last, pray about it. Following those steps has been such a blessing to me. Fixing my eyes on Jesus every morning, especially when I am reading some of those books that in the past, I must say I didn't get as much out of. But now, as I look at it, I can see Jesus in those. Even some of the most terrible situations, I think, wow, God was so patient with them. Oh, God was trying so hard to get their attention. Oh, God, you can just see him in there. Well, turn your eyes upon Jesus, written by Helen Lemmel. Again, a reminder to focus on Jesus. A man, William Featherston, testified, "My Jesus, I love thee." And then, "My song shall be of Jesus," wrote Fanny Crosby. How often do we sing these songs and maybe not sing them with the depth that we should? And finally, Joseph Scriven, who went through so many tragedies in his life and wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Okay, let's see here. How many of you have learned how to ride a bike? Okay, do you still ride? A little scarier when you get older. When you were learning to ride a bike, you probably weren't perfectly successful at the beginning. And I was teaching my little grandnephew how to ride a bike in our yard a year or two ago. And he was having a lot of problems. Just like this little boy, he was looking down right here. And he was looking at his hands and his feet and he was crashing all the time. The next picture shows a little girl who has a different attitude. She is looking, yes, coming. There we go. Straight forward. She's looking ahead of her. And you just kind of have to do that. You have to look straight down the road. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, it's like we're heading straight down the road and we will have far more success by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So let's look at one more version of the text that we've been focusing on. And this is actually not a translation. It is a personal interpretation of the text. So this is how Eugene Peterson, who passed away not that long ago, how it came across to him. And he says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on." And when I think of that part, I think of you folks. I think of people further back, like Ellen White and James and Uriah Smith and all those pioneers. I think of people back further, Martin Luther and all the reformers, and further back in the Bible, all those people cheering us on. It means we'd better get with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. God calls us to focus, to keep our eyes on Christ, to avoid looking at what everyone else is doing, being, and saying, and to see him. During my Bible study back on May 18, I looked it up, I was focusing on Malachi 3. Now, Malachi 3 follows some very serious warnings from God to his people. He was very unhappy by their oppression of widows and the fatherless, how they were depriving the foreigners among them of justice, defrauding laborers, and robbing God of his tithes and offerings. He accuses them of speaking arrogantly against him. He said they were whining about how evildoers prosper. What good does it do to serve God? And then came verse 16. Would you read this with me, please? "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard." Stop. The Lord what? They got together, and the Lord was listening. And I don't know exactly all the meaning here, but he not only listened, but he heard. He was really listening, I guess. And so what did they do? "A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." I love that. They talked with each other. The Lord listened and heard. They wrote a scroll of remembrance. And how did he respond? "On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession." He is listening today. He hears our hearts, but he also wants to hear our voices. I would like for us, in the last few minutes we have here today, to create a small scroll of remembrance. Is there anybody here who loves my Jesus? Anybody here who loves my Lord? I want to know, I want to know. Do you love my Lord? You know, we have that little chorus, oh, friend, do you love Jesus? And they answer, oh, yes, we love Jesus. Are you sure you love Jesus? Oh, yes, we're sure. So I ask you, how do you feel about Jesus? Why do you love him? In just a few words or a few sentences, not a whole story, I want you to tell somebody, the whole group here today. So right now, he is listening. What do you want to say for Jesus? Take a minute to think. Just a few words. Ellen White kept saying, I love him, I love him. She had so many reasons to love him. We have so many reasons to love him. He wants to hear our words. Who would like to speak?
Well, basically, you know, Jesus gave his life to us.
Amen. He loves Jesus because he gave his life to us.
I love him because he first loved me.
Jesus is my strength.
Oh, how many agree with that? Yes, sir. Who else? Coming over here. Ricky.
Had a lot of mercy on me.
I saw someone else here.
I'm envious of his character when I read and see how perfect he was.
And if we keep looking at him, he says, by beholding, we will be changed. Was that your hand?
Without him, we are nothing.
It's true. Who else?
I love Jesus because he takes me as I am every day.
Why don't you just say something since you have? That's okay. Let's pass it to Larry over there. And you can hide it at any point.
While I was yet a sinner, he died for me.
He's a good shepherd that never gives up on me.
I'm just glad that Jesus is always there to pick us up when we're down.
I'm glad he sent me a wonderful wife.
He is good to us. On this side, I know there's more. Let's see. And thank you for being quick and brief in your comments.
He's taken such good care of me all these years.
On this side.
I'm thankful for his care every day.
I see my mom's.
I feel that he's kept me all these years. He certainly is going to keep me ready for heaven.
Stan?
I love Jesus because he sets us free.
Sherry, I know you want to say something. But I'm not going to. Oh, I'll take one run back up here and then we will close. So, if you look at me. Jacob? Chad? Oh, April.
I love him because he healed a broken person.
See a hand over here, Chad.
Well, I love Jesus for the blessings we receive each day. You know, we're on a one-way journey downhill, and I still have gray hair, but I'm still alive.
Amen. Jim?
Because he loves me even when I don't love him.
I love Jesus because of the promise that he's given us all.
He
He brought me out of the darkness into the light.
He's my Savior, rock, and shield.
Fix your eyes on Jesus. You have blessed me today by speaking up. And he was listening, and he heard. And he says to you, "You are my treasure. I'm going to come and get you soon." I would like for us to sing in just a moment. But first, I want to finish this thing. I started with, "There was once a man," and I tricked you. Well, yes, there are men, but this was kind of about a woman. But now let's go to the man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Alpha and Omega, the bright and morning star, the Prince of Peace, and the rider on the white horse, which we will see soon. He is amazing. And I want us to always think about how nothing can separate us from him. And let's go to the scripture here, Romans 8, 35, 37, and 38. Who wrote this? Paul. Did he know by experience that God would never leave him? Had he been through all kinds of craziness? Yes. So we can trust what he says here. He knows. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? It is true, folks. He will never allow us to be separated from him. If you can't pray, just say his name. If you can't keep holding on to him, then let go and realize that when he's holding our hand, he's not just holding our hand, he's holding us. And even if you don't have the strength to hang on anymore, he will hang on to you because he loves you so much. I am so thankful for Jesus. He has led me 68 years now, through thick and thin. He's blessed me, like somebody else said, with a good husband who puts up with me no matter what. And I just want to praise his name today as well. Let's give thanks with a grateful heart, okay? We ask you to sing this with us.
Thanks.
anyone sitting here has not put your hand in the hand of Jesus or given your heart to him yet, do it today. And write a little note and let us know in the office so that we can encourage you along your path. And if you have already given your heart to Jesus, just keep focused on him. There is tremendous, tremendous effort going into trying to distract us all. And just keep fixed on Jesus, okay? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Jesus, terrible things have happened to your people down through the ages. Terrible things are happening to your people right now. And more terrible things are going to happen. But through it all, we can be confident that you will hold us in your strong hand. Please help us to keep our eyes and our lives fixed on you. Show us how to be more like you each day. May we walk with you and experience your abiding presence in this new week. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.